All right, hello and welcome to a special emergency episode of Radio TCX here to talk about some really big X-Wing news that dropped yesterday.
Yeah, I definitely got a lot of work done while listening to the Hyperspace Report. Crazy news drop, X-Wing 2nd Edition. A little speechless. They hit us with just so much news, it's quite a bit to process right now.
Yeah, this announcement kind of came out of nowhere. Not a whole lot of fanfare for this announcement event. They actually really didn't even announce this event until well after all the world's registration had happened. But earlier today at the Fantasy Flight Game Center, it's just one day before Worlds, Fantasy Flight decided to announce a second edition of X-Wing, which will be launching later this year.
Yeah, they had an announcement followed by a panel of Fantasy Flight employees talking about the new edition, as well as an article posted kind of detailing everything that was mentioned during the announcement. And all of these were jam-packed with information. They didn't just tease it. They really let us know what that second edition is going to look like.
Yeah, there were a lot of details given out today, so we're not going to go into exhaustive detail about everything here. Today, we're really going to focus on the nuts and bolts of it. Since you're listening to this podcast, you're already an X-Wing fan, so I'm sure you've done a lot of research yourself. We're just going to hit the main details here about the release, what little we know about the game right now, and we're going to talk about kind of what we're most excited for and some of the expectations we're hoping Fantasy Flight has promised, and hopefully they'll meet. So I think we should start off by just looking at the rough details here. X-Wing 2nd Edition, the first wave in the core set, is going to launch with an early release at this year's Gen Con, which is the beginning of August. Everything from Wave 1 will be available at that event for players to purchase early. And then just about a month later, on September 13th, they will see a wide release of the 2nd Edition of X-Wing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really excited about this release, and I think September is just a little too far away for me. I need it now.
The initial release of X-Wing 2nd Edition will include the core set, which is going to come with a T-65 X-Wing and two TIE LN fighters, classic TIE fighter, retailing for $39.95. You'll also have a bunch of expansions in Wave 1 for three of the five 2nd Edition X-Wave factions. Rebel Alliance will see a T-65 X-Wing expansion and a BTL A4 Y-Wing expansion, both retailing for $19.95. The Galactic Empire will see the TIE LN fighter expansion and the TIE Advanced X-1 expansion, both also retailing at $19.95.
And then the Scum faction gets two very cool ships, the Fang fighter at $19.95 and the Slave 1 expansion at $29.95.
And actually, one of the big pieces of news is that the second edition of X-Wing is going to actually feature five distinct factions. The initial release is only going to see the Rebel Alliance, Galactic Empire, and Scum and Villainy, but we will see independent factions releasing with Wave 2 in the form of the Resistance and the First Order from the new, more recent films.
And alongside the release of Wave 1, there will also be three conversion kits to upgrade your existing ships from the first edition into second edition. So there's a kit for the Rebel Alliance, a different one for the Galactic Empire, and another one for Scum and Villainy. All of these are going to be $49.95.
And Fantasy Flight provided an FAQ on their website showing some of the details players want to know about the release of 2nd Edition. And they actually detailed each of these conversion kits will come with the cardboard and tokens and maneuver dials for minimum two copies of each of your existing ships within those factions, with some ships getting 3 to 4 copies depending on, you know, what ship they are.
And they did mention that these conversion kits are also going to include the pilots and upgrade cards featured in the Wave 1 expansions. So if you already have a TIE Advanced and you get the Empire conversion kit, you don't need to go out and buy the new TIE Advanced. Though a lot of these packs also include updated model sculpts, so more detailed miniatures provided with them.
So that's kind of the nuts and bolts of it here. In general, it looks like things are going to be a little bit more expensive than existing X-Wing expansions. The typical small base expansion in first edition comes in at $14.95. So we're seeing a little bit of a price hike there. Hopefully that means we're getting more content in these expansions, or at least a nicer model sculpt.
I mean, from the pictures I've seen, the models do look nicer. We do know the X-Wing's wings move, and supposedly the Fang Fighter's wings move as well. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah, and I think it's really cool having the conversion kits there as an opportunity for players with existing X-Wing collections from first edition to be able to not have to just buy all the brand new expansions there and still be able to access all that new content.
I mean, it still will be a cost to transfer over. You'll need the new core set. And, you know, for an existing player, you're going to probably want at least one of each of the conversion kits. So that's already $200.
Yeah, so obviously there will be a cost there, but hopefully it won't be as bad as having to buy all your ships over again.
Absolutely, and the updated game does look really fun.
So there have been multiple points of information coming in about X-Wing 2nd Edition. Fantasy Flight had their official announcement. They also had a panel right after the announcement sharing some more details about the game. We had a couple articles here and an FAQ on their website. And they also did some videos with Team Covenant giving us more details on the game. So I think we should focus here, though, on kind of the main differences promised by Fantasy Flight Games about how X-Wing 2nd Edition is going to stand out from its predecessor and what are the really new core things that are going to make this game great.
Yeah, one of the big new mechanics is going to be the Force.
Yeah, in the first edition of X-Wing, there were a lot of pilots that we know from Star Wars canon to have Force abilities, but those were never fully reflected in gameplay. A lot of times they'd have really powerful pilot abilities, but it didn't exactly translate that those were coming from the Force directly. Now, in second edition, they actually have a mechanical way to introduce the Force into the game, so it can be reflected by these Force-sensitive pilots.
Yeah, and I think that'll be a cool way to make pilots within the same ship feel very distinctly different. I think Luke Skywalker is probably going to play a lot different than Wedge Antilles, which I think is pretty exciting.
Yeah, so the main way they introduce the Force into the game is by Force charges. Each Force-sensitive pilot is going to have a number of Force charges ranging from 1 to 3, and these can be used in a couple different ways. On their own, they function as a sort of mini focus token where you can spend individual Force charges to change individual focus results to either hit results or evade results.
Yeah, so sort of like a mini focus, which is pretty cool. We'd seen that focus action be sort of linked to Force abilities with like Luke Skywalker. It seems like they took the original Luke Skywalker pilot and that was the inspiration for making the Force mechanic.
And the developers of the game have stated that the number of Force charges on a pilot is going to be reflective of how strong that pilot is in the Force. So a pilot like Darth Vader, who's very Force sensitive, is going to have 3 Force charges, whereas someone like early Ezra Bridger might only have a single Force charge, kind of reflecting the differential in power between those Force sensitive characters.
Another way to distinguish these Force using pilots from other pilots is that they'll have access to Force only upgrade cards, which will give them different ways to spend their Force charges to get a different ability instead of the usual effect.
And the developers have also stated that even if a pilot of a ship isn't Force-sensitive, ships that can take Force-sensitive crew will be able to some way benefit from Force charges, even if it's less so than if that character was piloting the ship.
So there's quite a bit of nuance to the new Force mechanic. Hopefully we'll get a bit more details down the road, but already quite a bit of information provided on that. Fantasy Flight's also said that they'll have a renewed focus on faction identities with this second edition. It's something where, as the original game has progressed, you know, there might have been some original faction identities, but they've kind of been blurred as expansion after expansion has been dropped.
Yeah, this is a pretty big promise on Fantasy Flight's part, and I really hope it's one that they can deliver on. That is something that's definitely been lost in first edition X-Wing. Those lines have been blurred between, especially since, original faction identities, like you're saying, Carson, have kind of disappeared. We actually had a faction introduced into the life of the game several waves in, and those factions have never fully established their own identities and mechanics. Fantasy Flight here has promised, though, that a second edition enables them to, from the ground up, build those faction identities with the factions already in mind so that each faction can fly and feel very different from one another.
They did mention that the Rebel Alliance will have a focus on supporting your other ships, whereas the Empire will have a focus on getting bonuses for flying in close formation.
And another nice thing that they are promising here is that players will actually be able to effectively just buy into a single faction in X-Wing. One of the first edition struggles that a lot of people have is that typically if you want to get all the great upgrade cards, you really have to buy ships from every faction. You can't just really focus in on Rebels or Imperials or Scum. Fantasy Flight has said that they're going to try and make it so that you no longer have to buy expansions from every faction. You can really just decide, I want to be an Imperial player, I want to be a Rebel player, and focus in on those factions and get all those upgrade cards that you'll need.
Scum for life!
The last part that Fantasy Flight has promised that is a huge difference for second edition over first edition is the Squad Builder app / Squad Builder website.
Yeah, this is huge. And I think this is the thing that, from what I've heard from the chatter today, what most players are really excited about.
I think before we get into this, a huge shout out to everyone who's built first edition squad builders. Those have been an incredible asset for this community. A lot of great ones out there. So, I mean, you know, huge shout out to those people who put the time and effort into building these first edition squad builders. They've kind of proved how important that is for a game like this.
Oh, absolutely. There's so many cards right now, I can't build lists without an app. So thank you to all of the content creators who've made apps for us. But now we have the one app to rule them all.
Yeah, the Fantasy Flight Squad Builder app is going to be a really core part of this game, it looks like.
So the cards provided in the new edition will not have printed point costs.
And ship cards actually won't have printed upgrade slots on them either.
So all of your list building, the points, what upgrade slots are going to be digital, just found on the app/website.
Yeah, and this opens up some really cool opportunities. One of the first ones being is they've said they can have variable point costs on upgrade cards. So depending on what upgrade card you're equipping to what ship might affect how much it costs, which is a good point for balance for the game. Because we've seen in first edition, cards like engine upgrade don't have equal value across what ships they're equipped on. So it'd be cool if we saw abilities like this that could adjust depending on the chassis they're going on.
Yeah, and we've always been really excited for those expansions where they do redo an old ship to readjust its points for where the game has progressed. Now you won't have to spend $100 to get a points adjustment on your little ship. It'll be just done incrementally each year on the app. It'll just get an update and the meta will be changed.
And Zach over from Fantasy Flight's Organized Play has also said that they're going to be able to use this to develop different formats and different requirements. So you can run different kind of events using this app. So you can specify certain ships to be exclusive for a certain event or to adjust point costs within a format. And on the competitive end, not having those upgrade icons printed on the cards can really provide some definite balancing needs. We've seen that in first edition, where ships like the Jumpmaster 5000, which have had nerfs multiple times, ultimately had to have several upgrade card slots removed. Since those aren't printed on the pilot cards, that's more or less easy to do when it's all contained within the app. One thing that's more important for more casual players, though, since you don't have those point costs and upgrade slots included on the ships, it kind of necessitates the squad builder if you want to play a full game of second edition X-Wing.
But they did also mention, you know, for starting out, you don't need to use the app. There is a quick build way to play where you have sort of pre-built ships at a relatively balanced threshold.
Yeah, you get a set of quick build cards that have different threat levels. You basically agree with your opponent to play to a certain threat level and use these pre-built loadouts to just run a simple game of X-Wing. So if you're more on the casual end, you'll be able to play with these ships right out of the box without having to bother with a builder app or website. But for the more serious X-Wing players, you're going to have hopefully a really great asset in the form of the squad builder.
Yeah, and honestly, Warhammer 40K has introduced a similar dual kind of point system where you have your competitive point system and then your quick build casual point system. And a lot of players actually really liked the casual point system. You don't have to spend as much time list building. You just grab some cards and you're ready to play.
So these are just some of the main points we're seeing coming from the second edition announcement here. Obviously, there's a lot of details that have already been shared that we can't cover right now. And Fantasy Flight has promised they'll be releasing preview articles over the next several months leading up to launch to give us more details about this game. But I think these are kind of the main points here, what's going to really differentiate second edition from first edition. So let's move on and talk a little bit about, you know, first edition, what were some of the issues and how we're hoping that second edition will address it.
All right, so I mean, the big question we want to answer here is, was second edition necessary? Now, Fantasy Flight has said, yes, they're doing it. Do you agree that this was necessary?
Yeah, I think this is a really good first question to ask, and I'm very excited about second edition. Obviously, Carson, you and I record an X-Wing podcast, so we do have a really big love for this game, but that doesn't go without this game having a lot of issues that have developed over time and have kind of existed at the core of the game as it evolved organically. There are a lot of problems that are just so rooted in the first edition rule set. So there's not really any change that can be made to the first edition rule set outside of a second edition that can address these core problems that are just kind of built into the game now.
Yeah, I mean, in my opinion, this change can't come soon enough. We've seen with wave after wave, just the power creep has steadily increased, which means the original and much more iconic ships have been, you know, slowly, or sometimes not slowly, forced out of play. And for me, that's a big issue.
Well, in the Star Wars universe, obviously, has a lot of awesome and interesting ship designs, but we really go back to those classic ship designs we remember from when we first watched the films. Ships like the X-Wing, the B-Wing, the A-Wing, these are all iconic Star Wars ships, and even people who are only somewhat familiar with the Star Wars universe will often recognize these things. But they have, in a lot of ways, been pushed out of the competitive game. A lot of the lists you see nowadays, they'll run things like TIE SFs, but you'll also see a lot of less iconic ships like the TIE Defender, the Alpha Class Starwing, or the Shadowcaster, which are really cool designs in their own right, but they're not really the classic iconic ships you'd expect to see in a Star Wars game.
Yeah, and part of that is also, you know, the points that they printed at the original time, they made sense at the time of a ship's release, but with each new release, we see that threshold just get lower and lower. And so the old ships just fall off. I mean, with the new Saw's Renegades X-Wings, you know, they're going down to 19 points, which means you can get 5 in a list. And that's crazy unprecedented.
Well, and I think a lot of the point cost balancing issues emerged from a couple different factors. We saw the game change hands in terms of design early on in the history during the first several waves, which kind of defined where the game went. And I think even at the time, at the start of X-Wing, I don't know if Fantasy Flight knew how tremendously popular the game was going to be. But it became crazy popular, and I don't think there was necessarily a consistent design philosophy at the start of the game. And a lot of the issues that we see at the core of X-Wing are issues that appear in the first several waves. So now that we have a second edition, hopefully that'll be an opportunity where they can really start from the ground up and have a consistent design philosophy here to try and hopefully counteract all those potential issues.
Right. And for me, I mean, another one of those big reasons that I'm really excited for this second edition is, in the current edition, the gameplay has just kind of moved away from that core X-Wing experience that originally drew me to the game. You know, you had your arced ship, you're trying to get arc on your opponent, and it was all about what dial you set and how you leveraged your actions. And now it's just kind of more about how many torpedoes and bombs you can get off in a turn.
Yeah, the game has really drifted away from the heart of what made it so interesting in the beginning. I still enjoy playing the game, but it has changed significantly, and I'm not as excited about it as I was when it first began. It'll be nice with the second edition. Hopefully, we can get back really to the core of what makes X-Wing great. Fantasy Flight has said they really want to bring the emphasis back on the feel of flying starships in space. So I think hopefully positioning will be a huge part of that. We've already seen some pretty significant changes to classic ships. The T-65 X-Wing now has a standard barrel roll action. So I think we're seeing a design here where they really understand the importance of those repositioning actions. And those are going to be built into a lot of ships that kind of desperately need them in first edition.
And what makes me happy that, you know, we're going to go back to those core mechanics is we see the change of turrets. They are no longer a 360, no skill, you get to shoot every turn.
Yeah, we're seeing a pretty substantial readjustment to the turret mechanics here. What Frank Brooks stated during their panel is that they've kind of readjusted all the turret mechanics to bring them more in line with what we saw in the first edition Shadowcaster here. So basically any ship that has a turret upgrade is going to have mobile firing arcs printed on the base there, and you're going to have to move that mobile firing arc around to use your turret. That's going to be just a little 90-degree window that moves around with an action.
And then any ship that had a primary weapon turret will now have a double turret arc. So these are sort of like that mobile arc where it, but instead it points in two opposite directions. So you'll cover 180 degrees, but you'll either cover your front and back firing arc or your two side firing arcs.
And it might seem weird to some people to point out the turret adjustment as kind of like one of the core things here, but really that has changed the shape of first edition X-Wing. Large base turrets were really problematic early in the game's history, and that was something that never quite got corrected, or in the ways that it did get corrected kind of created other issues. So seeing at the base level an adjustment to a core mechanic like that is really promising for second edition.
Well, that just means the game will have to focus on firing arcs if every ship has a firing arc, which I can't stress how excited I am about that.
Yeah, let's jump into, I think this is a good thing to talk about, what we're really most excited about in second edition that we know so far. So obviously that turret readjustment's a big one, but there's actually a lot of stuff here that I'm really excited about.
I mean, honestly, just going back to those original iconic ships, you know, X-Wings, Y-Wings. Y-Wings have a red barrel roll. That's awesome. And some of them even have elite pilot talents.
things they've been sorely needing in first edition. Yeah, seeing those iconic ships come back, particularly X-Wings, getting X-Wings back out on the table, I think is going to feel so good. Having that native barrel roll action now just feels great. And, you know, even if they, you know, get outclassed over time or new ships introduced to compete with them, it'll be good even in just wave one to see those X-Wings become prominent again.
I'm also just really excited about that app and website. Just the ability for them to always be able to adjust points and upgrade slots means we probably won't have, you know, dominant meta forces for months on end. They can see when there's a problem and react. And I think that's just such an important tool that Fantasy Flight has given themselves to maintain a healthy, competitive X-Wing environment.
Well, and there's a lot of practical points to having an official app that I think is really good. It's going to make legal squad building really easy. So if you have players who are new at the game, we're not going to see any accidental mistakes about building a squad that's illegal for a tournament play. And honestly, they haven't announced anything about this, but I'd really like to see them expand the use of the app or website so that, I don't know, possibly you can submit lists to tournament organizers so that you can just get a real quick check-in process and not have to have those tournament organizers dig through paper lists there to make sure everyone's playing with a legal squad.
Well, I'm also probably assuming that they're going to try and use this to track data so that they can see what lists are people using or doing well so that they can make those adjustments appropriately. If they have everyone using the same app and they're submitting those lists to tournaments, I mean, it just makes sense that they collect all that data for themselves using the app. So hopefully they're doing that.
Another really cool thing coming in second edition is we're actually getting a new base size here. So the core of X-Wing has always been those small base ships, the large base ships. Now we're getting a new medium base to fit in between.
Yeah, and that should clear up a lot of the uncertainty. You know, the Fire Spray, was that really a large base ship? And now we had the TIE Silencer, which probably too big for a small base. Even probably Aggressors are probably medium base. It should be really interesting to see what ships end up being that medium class.
Well, and we don't even know what, like, which ships are going to be medium outside of the Slave One right now, but it is cool to see that new design space there where the base size can actually more accurately reflect the size of the ship. At the core of X-Wing, you know, you're playing with a bunch of squares there, even if you got those sweet models attached on top. And the shape of those squares really affects the nature of maneuvers. Even the same maneuver, a two-bank, feels different on different sized bases. So it'll be cool to have a new opportunity here, some new design space for them to play with to make the game feel more thematic.
Another thing I'm really excited for, I guess we didn't really touch on this too much, but the charge mechanic where there will be counters on upgrade cards where you can track things. So they can have an ability, but still have a finite ability on it. We did see this with the R2-D2 Astromech, and this is amazing, that regen get a shield back is now just limited to 3 times per game. Wow. So that infinite regen mechanic, which was just terrible game design because your game should progress towards an end and the current iteration of regen did not do that, now has been addressed and it is finite. The world is good again.
Well, and just charge counters across the board are great mechanics too. We're seeing them on ordnance, bombs, all sorts of upgrade cards where they're going to be able to apply a finite quantity, which is really cool, and that's something unique to second edition. In first edition X-Wing, typically abilities fell into a few main categories. Either you could use them all the time, you could use them once per round, or you could use them once ever, which is not a great design space there. It's really limiting. So having the opportunity here to make abilities be able to use them, oh, 2 times, 3 times, 4 times, or use them once per round, but it regenerates a token or what have you. This is a really cool design space and opportunity for second edition that I hope they really utilize.
We're also seeing dial readjustments for all of those ships that we currently know.
Yeah, we've already gotten a peek at the new T-65 X-Wing there, which includes some Talon rolls and more green maneuvers. That's something that happened over time in first edition where the earlier produced ships just did not have as strong a dial as the later produced ships.
Yeah, and here's to hoping some of those newer release ships' dials get reined in a little bit.
One thing that Alex Davey was talking about that I think is a really new, cool phase in the game is that we now have a system phase occurring between the planning phase when you choose your maneuver and set your dial and the activation phase when you reveal your dial and move your ship. This system phase is where, so far, we know you use bombs. So bombs will be dropped before ships start moving. So rather than it occurring during the activation phase and you dropping a bomb whenever your ship activates before you move, these bombs will all get dropped beforehand, so even lower pilot skill ships will have an opportunity to reposition and make decisions based on where they see the bomb tokens landing.
We also see some built-in abilities with each ship, and these seem to be abilities where there was originally a upgrade card that you always put on the ship, like the TIE Advanced always taking the advanced targeting computer. That is now just going to be built into the TIE Advanced, which is really cool. It means for those cards that were always auto-include, just kind of core parts of the ship, it's now just represented in that ship card.
Yeah, and this is great because, I mean, first of all, it clears up some extra clutter there where you don't need an upgrade card for this ability that you're going to put on every ship. It's printed right onto those pilot cards. And it really provides some identity to each of the ships. So even if a pair of ships share a stat line across factions or within a faction, they can really differentiate themselves by having those built-in abilities. I think the last thing, though, that we should talk about in terms of what's exciting about second edition is the introduction of those red actions that you mentioned earlier, as well as linked actions.
Yeah, so we heard that the Y-Wing does have access to a barrel roll, but it's red, which means that if the Y-Wing does the barrel roll, it will then get a stress token.
And so far, we've seen this crop up on a couple different ship types here. This is a really cool design space because we know from playing first edition X-Wing that not every action carries the same weight. So an X-Wing barrel rolling, that ship's a little more maneuverable. It's a white barrel roll, so it doesn't get stressed. Whereas a Y-Wing can barrel roll. We've seen that in the movies, but it still is a lot harder for that slower lumbering ship to do it. So it's going to take a stress token to reflect how difficult it is for that ship to perform that action.
There's also linked actions, which means there's a series of actions instead of push the limit where you can just choose any two combination of actions. For some ships, they have options to take certain trees of actions.
Yeah, so basically this is providing you the kind of action efficiency that we've expected from first edition's push the limit. Fantasy Flight has stated that push the limit's not going to be included in this edition, but now it's really kind of a core mechanic of the game. So let's look at an example like the T-65 X-Wing with that servo motors S-foils upgrade. While those are closed, this ship is going to gain not only a white boost action, but also access to a white focus action that can be linked into a red boost action.
Right, so you can take that focus action and then perform a boost, but because that boost is red, you'll get a stress at the end, which would function the same way as if you push the limit for a boost and a focus.
One thing I really like about linked actions is that I think they're going to be able to lend to ship identity, where push the limit's kind of an important upgrade card from first edition, but since it didn't specify what kind of actions you can take, it really had kind of a universal feel here. Whereas linked actions are going to be very specific to what each ship can do. So while you're getting the efficiency of two actions, it's going to vary from ship to ship exactly what those actions are.
Yeah, I think that will definitely open up more design space for them to diversify ships. And it'll definitely take some getting used to, but I think it's pretty exciting.
So, all in all, it's a pretty exciting day for X-Wing fans. Second edition coming out this September, early release this August. A bunch of expansions coming out. We're actually going to see a lot of these cards because Saw's Rebels and the TIE Reaper expansion are going to come with both first edition and second edition content. So you're going to be able to get hands-on with these upgrades and new card designs within the next several months, hopefully. And we actually already have some T-65 expansions floating out there from what was given away at Fantasy Flight's announcement event.
Yeah, this is a crazy day, just a whirlwind of information. They gave us way more information on this than I could have expected. It was really exciting to get this announcement, especially on Star Wars Week. And I don't even have too many questions because I feel like they answered all of them, which is crazy.
I mean, we're still reacting to this announcement initially, so I'm sure things will pop into our mind over time, and we'll be getting preview articles here, hopefully from Fantasy Flight in the not-too-distant future, sharing more details about 2nd Edition X-Wing. Are you guys excited about 2nd Edition? Are you disappointed? Tell us your thoughts. Share with us on social media. You can check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/RadioTCX or on Twitter at RadioTCXPodcast. We really want to hear your thoughts on this stuff. Are you excited? Are you not? Please let us know.
How can you not be excited? Regen is limited. It's finite. We can all rejoice.
Yeah, that alone sounds like justification for why second edition is going to be great. Thank you guys for listening, and we will talk to you when we resume our normally scheduled podcast next week.